I was studying something yesterday, had a thought, and I thought, okay, I'll run with this until you change my mind. And by the way, let me see here. Let me check on something here real quick. We are streaming in the village. Michael, did you spell this right? I don't know how to say that. It's an L and a P at the beginning of the word. L-P-O-R-O-S. I want to put the P in front of the L, and say Pluros. But it's El Poros, Kenya. So everybody turn around, look at that camera right there, and say, hello, God bless you. Welcome to Bethel this morning. We love you. Want God to bless you. I think in the village we was at last week, I think they was somewhere over 500 people out there watching. That's a wow. We rejoice in that. It just seems like every place we go there with what we're doing out there, God's just blessing it. And I tell you what, if America won't listen to the gospel, God's got other people. When they're hungry, and I'm going to talk to you today. When you're hungry enough, you'll take a bite. And that's what God wants. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. All you got to do is try it. It's just like somebody cooking something for you and they'll say, now try this. Now, what is it? Don't worry about what it is. Just try it and see if you like it. And you try it and you eat it. Okay? When I was in Kenya the last two times, I took Brother Mike Hudson and Brother Brent. There's a restaurant there in Nairobi called Carnivore, and it is what you think it is. It is meat. It is meat. And those Maasai tribesmen, they got those long skewers, and they got chunks of meat, and they hold them out over the grill. It's kind of like us roasting marshmallows. And they hold it out over the grill like that, and they'll come around to your plate, and they'll ask if you want any of it. Okay, and they'll tell you, they'll come around with some beef. They'll rake it off on your plate. Boy, that's good. They come around with some pork and come around with some chicken. That's all good. And they come around with some lamb. First time I ever had lamb was there. And they raked it off. And I'm going, that's pretty good. Okay, it's not bad. And then they come around with crocodile. It's not bad. Tastes like salt on your chicken. Okay? They come around with camel. Now, I don't mean the kind you smoke, Roy. Camel meat. Do you think you'd try camel meat, Ron? No? I was pretty full then, but I thought, I'm here to try it. I tried it. It's not bad. It's got a beef taste. It's like a salty beef. Okay? Nip's pretty good. So I figured while I was there, I would taste and see. There's things that I've eaten that I didn't like, things that I ate that I did like. And I tell you, when it comes to the gospel, that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to taste and see if the Lord is good. And those of you here who've already tasted and took a big bite out of it, swallowed it down real good, you know it's good. Somebody say amen. You keep coming back for more. I'm stalling because I'm just trying to make sure that I'm going in the right direction. I told God yesterday that He could change my message if He wanted to. And I got up this morning, I was reading something, and there it was. And I don't know how to describe it, it just feels like it's the right message. So anyway, you pray for me this morning while I preach. I'm going to try to draw some things out for you if my markers will work and try to help you and give you encouragement this morning. I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I was mentioning earlier today that talking about the yoke of God and the yoke of Christ, and His yoke is easy and His burden's light. And there would be times, years ago, I used to really wrestle with, I didn't know what to preach, it just wouldn't come to me very easily. And I realized that I was just trying to impress people, I was trying to make a showing of it, and things like that. And when I give up just trying to put on a show for everybody on preaching, I just got it settled. Just preach the word. The Bible says preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. And I'll tell you, there's times and there's seasons when I feel like preaching, seasons I don't feel like preaching, but you preach anyway. And preaching and prophesying is nothing more than just declaring. I'm going to declare to you what God said this morning.
And I know and have strong conviction, strong belief in the Word of God, that God's Word never fails, and we will. Somebody say amen. And so I'm just, God help me with it, with preaching and teaching and things like that. He just gets it settled, and once he gets it settled, it's easy to preach, and it's easy to just go through the Scriptures. I've got 1,189 chapters of good material to go through, and when I get done going through all of it, I can always go back, double back, and do it all over again. Amen? That's just how it is. I like it that way. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. I'm going to do something this morning we don't do here very often. A lot of churches do it. That's what they do every Sunday. But, and this is actually from the Scriptures, when Ezra stood up to read the Word, everybody stood up with him. So I'd like for you to stand with your Bible this morning. And even those of you watching at home, it may look silly to you, but just stand with your Bible. We're going to read, and standing is just a sign. We believe this book. This book is right. We stand in reverence to the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that helps us stand to begin with. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then he's going to change it a little bit. Six verses in this chapter, three of them are about those who are blessed, three of them are about those who are, look at verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do you believe your Bible this morning? Say amen. Father in heaven, we stand, Lord, in reverence and in respect and in awe of your Word. Lord, I was blessed in watching just for a little bit, Lord, those look like thousands of police officers all down in New York standing as the bodies of those two policemen went by. Father, we believe in standing in respect to someone who has dignity, someone that we are respecting. God, it's a sign, Lord, that we are showing respect to somebody. Lord, we respect your Word. We stand for it. We stand with it. And Lord, Father, it gives us the ability to stand. And Father, we thank you for your Word. I thank you, dear God, for your Word. Without it, Lord, I wouldn't have anything to preach. I wouldn't have any way, Lord, to live by. I'd be just blowing around in the wind, Father. But I thank you, God, that you've put it in my heart, settled it. And Lord, I believe every word that you said in this book. Father, I need every word that you said in this book. Lord, I need it to help me live. I need it, God, to help me love. I need it, God, to help me make decisions, to do the right thing. And Lord, if I've done the wrong thing, God, I need it, Lord, to help me to be sorry for it and apologize. And Lord, Father, to be forgiven. I need this book and I need your Word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would open up our hearts. Lord, I'm not preaching something, God, that I've prepared. Lord, I'm asking you, God, that you would just give me wisdom and guide my thoughts and guide my words, Father. Lord, I'd just rather have Jesus come into this room and preach to these people as me. I'd gladly sit down for a chance at the Savior to come into this place. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come and be in this service and preach, Father, to the people that are here, to those that are listening, those that are watching, those that are in that wonderful village there in Kenya. Pray, God, that you'd just give them a blessing, give them a double blessing. Lord, even more so than the people here, God, give them a double blessing. Lord, just bless them and encourage them and help us, Father, to stand in your Word. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what I'm going to do is I just like to do this. To me, it just kind of makes things simple. You'll see this all through the Scriptures. You'll see it all through the Scriptures. Always in the Bible, there's always going to be a contrast. If you've ever read the book of Proverbs,
you'll see that there's a contrast in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, you'll hear Solomon, he'll talk about
wisdom and refer to wisdom as a woman. Wisdom and virtue and knowledge and understanding, and he'll talk about her and the blessing that she has and all these things that she does. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Then you read Proverbs, you'll see about a strange woman in there and all the wicked things that she does. Wisdom will get you to heaven. The strange woman, she's full of ignorance. She's full of death, and she'll put you in hell. So you see contrast all through the Bible, and I like to see that. God just kind of helped me with that one day. Psalm chapter 1 is one of those places in the Bible that's going to compare this with that. And what I'm asking you to do this morning while we go through this, I don't know how long it's going to take me. I don't know, how long I'm going to preach it. I don't know how far I'm going to get. But I'm going to deal with those who are blessed and those who are ungodly. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to look and examine your life. Not somebody else. Not somebody that you know and you think needs to hear this or whatever. I want you to examine your life. You're the one that's here. God brought you to this building today to hear this message. I'm convinced of it. I think this is what God wanted me to preach. And I'll be honest with you. The other thing that God wanted me to preach is kind of along the same lines. It was a contrast between those who believe the gospel and those who don't. And so this is going to go along with it. And I want to try to make it easy and try to spell it out just plain and simple for you this morning. But I want us to understand the Word of God and understand. You need to know where you're going to spend eternity. You need to know that. You need to have it settled in your mind that when you die, you're going to heaven. You need that knowledge. Let me hear you say amen. Listen, and I've compared it to paying bills. If you pay the bill, you want to make sure that the company gets the bill. They want to make sure they get the check. Unless you ain't got no money. Okay? But you want to make sure they get the check. You want to make sure they get the payment. Did that payment go through? You're going to check the bank account. Yep, they got the check. I know the electricity is going to stay on for another month. You want that knowledge. You want that knowledge. You need to know and understand whether or not you're going to spend eternity in hell or heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. I cannot begin to tell you how bad I do not want to go to hell. Let me hear somebody say amen. I do not want to spend a minute there, a week there, a month there, and I don't want to spend eternity there. I want to go to heaven. And I'm going to show you the Bible. You've heard me talk about this before. Whenever you see the word blessed or blessing in the Bible, that is always a salvation word. It is always applied to those who are saved. I finish emails with God bless you. I may be talking to you, and I'll say, well, God bless you. And I know that's just kind of a greeting that we use or the way we end a letter or something like that. But I mean it. I want God to bless you. And the greatest way that I can think God can bless you is to give you a mansion for all of eternity. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? That's what I want. I want you to have eternal life. I don't think I hate anybody in this world enough to wish hell upon them. I don't think I do. I mean, maybe I do. God, search me and try me and see if this in there. But to me, it is such a terrible place for all of eternity. I don't want to go there, and I don't want anybody else to go there. So we're going to look at the difference between those who are blessed and those who are not. He said, first of all, in verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? How is that applied? Let me take you to a place. I'm just kind of running on what I think the Lord's leading. Over to Psalm 32. Turn there in your Bible. Psalm chapter 32. I don't even have any notes, at least on this part. When I was sitting in the office there before church started, I did kind of put down some scriptures here on my tablet about part of this. But I'm just kind of running on knowledge of scripture here. Psalm chapter 32. Let's look and find out what the Bible says about those who... Is this thing crooked or not? It looks crooked. Is it crooked? Is it bothering somebody? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, you know how to make the crooked straight, don't you? Somebody say when. Are we good? Oh, Lord, they're never happy. Y'all can just preach your own message if you want. If you're going to...
Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at how the Bible says you're blessed. When the Bible says you're blessed, let's see what's happening in your life. Anybody in America can say, I think I'm going to heaven. May not be true. So let's ask God what it takes to be blessed, what it takes to be saved. Psalm chapter 32, are you there? Say amen. Number one, verse one, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Transgressions forgiven. What does that mean? It means the Ten Commandments were given to us, even us Gentiles who the law was not given to. The Bible says we've got them written down somewhere in our heart. Everybody in this place knows that it's wrong to steal something that doesn't belong to you. Amen. We teach that to our supposed to teach it to your children. We know it's wrong to do that, and yet we do it. Everybody in this room knows it's wrong to lie and bear false witness against your neighbor. But everybody in this room has done it. Everybody in this room knows that it's wrong to disobey or dishonor your mother and your father. But we have all done it in our lives. We've disobeyed and dishonored our mother and father. We broke God's commandment. We all know murder is wrong, and yet Christ taught us, and the New Testament tells us, that we're murderers in our heart when we hate our brother, when we hate somebody. That's a murder in your heart. We know it's wrong to commit adultery. We know it's wrong to run out on your marriage and cheat on your wife or cheat on your husband. That's going on everywhere in this nation. And it was wrong yesterday, and it's wrong today to be wrong tomorrow. Let me hear you say amen. But Christ told us if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart already. We have transgressed God's laws. We broke His laws. We broke His rules. And let me tell you something. Judicially, God didn't get over it. In this country, if you break certain laws, there is no statute of limitations on murder. If you commit a murder, and every now and then you'll hear a story on the news, Jody, 30 years, they finally cracked the case, they finally found out who murdered somebody, do they let it rest? No, they go. If they're still alive, they go get them. They broke the law. Society does not get over certain infractions. If you broke the law 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you should be held accountable for it. Can I hear you say amen? And that's in American courts. And we're corrupt. We're wicked. We're full of guile and deceit in a lot of courtrooms in this country. But we still are run by the rule of law. And it says if you do the crime, you have to do the what? Do the time. You broke God's laws. You know what the time is? Eternity. The time for breaking God's laws is eternity, the second death, the lake of fire. And its punishment endures forever and forever and forever and forever. That's you. You're cursed if you have transgressed and those transgressions are not forgiven. Does that make sense to everybody? You got a curse on you right now. By the way, there is an arrest warrant out for you right now. Right now, one of these days, you're going to draw your last breath and God's going to send angels down and grab you and arrest you and take you before the righteous judge who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be condemned because you broke the law and you have no defense. You say, well, does that apply to everybody? Yes, it does. It applies even to church members. Applies to church members. Here's the difference. Those who are in Christ, we have got the universe's best defense lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Somebody say amen. Because we have accepted by faith that Christ died, paid the penalty, did the time, took care of everything for us, and we trust in that and believe in that. We have asked God, God, forgive me of my sins. God, I do not want to be found guilty. God, forgive me of my sins. I'm pleading for your mercy. Christ has mercy on us. When we stand before God, you know what God says? Not guilty. How? Christ paid the debt. He stood in our place, took our punishment, took our death, and paid the debt. So how many of you think that that is probably the greatest blessing that you'll ever receive in life? Say amen. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And then it says what? What's the next one? Your sin is covered. Now watch this. Everybody in this room's got a conscience. And moms are better at it than anybody in the planet at looking at their children and discerning whether or not they're telling the truth or lying. Can I hear you say amen, moms? You hear all that, kids? You lie to your mama. She knows your face. She's seen you lie before. She knows what you do when you lie. Don't ever play poker with your mom. Amen. She'll figure out what you got. Amen. She's figured you out. You know why? Because you know you did it. And you have this thing in your mind called your conscience. And while your mom says, "Who did this?" You know what it is? It's written all over you. Amen. Your mama looks at you and say, "You're looking awfully guilty. Why don't you just go ahead and tell me what you did? If you lie to me, I'm going to wear you out. You tell me the truth, I'll be easy on you. But don't lie to me because I already know. You've already told me you did it." You know why? Because it was written down. And let me tell you something. Let's go back to this transgression thing. When they lay charges against you in Jefferson County, if it's murder, those charges are not going away. Those charges are not going away. You know what? They're written down. The book of Revelation tells us that on Judgment Day, there's books that are open. You know what those books are? It's the book of your transgressions. Everything that you've said, everything that you did, everything that you looked at, everything that you thought, everything. You know what covetousness is? It's a thought sin. We don't covet outside of our body. We covet in our mind. And who knows that? God does. And God wrote it. There's another one right there. There's another one right there. He's writing all these sins down. Well, here's what happens. The blood of Jesus Christ, they open the book, Phil, on your sins and your transgressions. The blood of Jesus Christ was applied to those transgressions. So when the book is open on a sinner who has been born again and his sins have been covered, when they open the book, they cannot see the sin. They cannot see the charges that are against you. The book's open. God says, "What is he guilty of? I don't know. I can't see anything here." The blood of the Lamb has been applied to the transgressions, and they are now justified before God. It is just as if you had never done anything wrong. Somebody say amen. Well, that's amen. Clap your hands. Shout unto the God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Your sins have been washed away. They have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are blessed if your sins are covered. Sterling and I was with, I'll go ahead and tell the story, Brother John Uter, many years ago, he had a church that between Sunday school and Sunday service, a bunch of people that they drew up, I don't know where they got all these people, said they were members, they busted in his church and forcefully removed him out of his own church. And installed somebody as pastor over that church that morning. They run him out between Sunday school and church. They even brought the sheriff of the county to that church because they told him this. They had a plan that somebody was going to try to push up against him. John, you've seen him. He's a big old Bavarian German fella with a hot head. And somebody was going to try to push against him, and he was going to push back, and they were going to have him arrested in his own church for assault. They had it planned. They had it worked out. He called me that afternoon, told me what happened. I said, "John, I'll be down there the next day." Sterling and I drove down there. We prayed with him, drank coffee, visited with him, fellowship with him. They accused him of doing all kinds of things. They accused his wife. They accused his daughter. While we were sitting there, his daughter got a phone call, said that she had been fired. She worked at a factory there in Lebanon. That she was fired because there was a bomb threat called in and they were pinning her for it. While we were sitting there. And John said, "I don't understand. Everything that they're accusing me of, I didn't do. They're accusing Kathy of things she didn't do. They're accusing my daughter of things. She didn't do that. And right then the Holy Ghost quoted scripture. Mike, say this to him. John, open your Bible to Psalm 32. I said, John, let me ask you a question. See, your sins are covered. So I'm going to ask you. I said, John, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever done anything wrong in life? He said, yeah. I said, John, what about in the ministry? Have you ever done anything wrong since you've been in the ministry? And he looked down and he said, yeah. I said, then why didn't they accuse you of that? And he went. I said, do you know why? Because God blessed you and He covered your sins. The spirit that is behind all of those people doing that, God would not let that spirit dig up sins that he had actually been guilty of. You know why? Because then he wouldn't have been able to stand against it. He'd have fallen underneath it. You say wow again. Amen? That's good stuff. God, listen, the devil knows everything there is to know about you, doesn't he? You got a spirit that's been with you since birth that has just accumulated knowledge. And you know how I know that? The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. You know what he's accusing us of? Stuff we did. You know why it doesn't work against you? It's been covered. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. How many of you would like to be blessed? Say amen. There's things that I'd just soon be forgotten. That's my life, my wife's life, my children's life. Pretty soon my grandchildren. They're already doing stupid stuff, ain't they, girls? And you know, 20 years from now, we're going to tell the stories and they're going, Mom, would you just forget about that? With God, they're forgotten. They're covered. If you folks was Pentecostal, you'd be jumping all over the house here. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Okay, imputeth not iniquity. That means there are no outstanding charges or warrants against you. Zero. Nothing. The opposite of that is having righteousness imputed unto you. Think of a ledger. Everybody in here has worked with a ledger. If you have a checkbook, you've worked with a ledger. It's not very complicated. Money comes in, goes in this column. Money goes out, it goes in this column. How come in life there's always more checks written than there are deposits? Amen? Whew. That's just simple accounting. When you write a check, you have a charge imputed against your account. They take money out of your bank account. When you get a paycheck and deposit that in, that money is imputed to your account as a blessing. It's always a blessing on payday. Amen? Well, listen, I want to tell you something. There's a payday coming. Amen? There's a payday coming. God is going to look. God's an accountant, by the way. We are going to give account for the things we have done. That's what the Bible says. And God's the accountant. And he's got his calculator up there. And he's got it all written down. Here's what your blessing is. Your blessing is that when God looks at your account, there's been one deposit made. One great, big, gigantic deposit called grace. Man, I like this. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You'll never out-sin the grace of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Never. That's good preaching, isn't it? Solomon tried it. Amen. Wouldn't you like to see Solomon's checkbook of sins? Whew. Good gracious Lord. But he had one deposit made, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ and his son giving him favor and mercy. God said, I will never take my mercy away. I'll never pull the deposit out. Boy, that's good. God, thank you for changing my message this morning. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit, look at this,
is no guile. You know what that means? That means everybody who's blessed, everybody whose transgressions have been forgiven, everybody whose sin has been covered, everybody whose the Lord will not impute iniquity to, but grace, those people, in their spirit, there is no guile. Now, if I were to ask this morning for you to raise your hand and stand and testify the fact whether or not you have lied in the past, let's say the past 4 weeks, we'd probably be embarrassed. So I won't do that. And some of you would lie doing it. Our flesh is full of guile. We're so full of deceit. We're so full of lies and putting on. That's what our flesh is. But he did not say the flesh. He said the spirit. You know what Jesus said about the spirit and the flesh? The spirit wars against the flesh. Doesn't it? Some of you feel that every day when you wake up. The spirit is truly as willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul said it in Romans 7. He said, that what I do is that's what I don't want to do. And that the things that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And he was talking about this outer man in him. But inside of him, he had a different set of laws. He had a different spirit in him. He had a spirit that confessed sins. Did you catch that? He had a spirit that confessed sins. Paul had a nature about him and a spirit about him that said, I can't carry this. I can't hold on to this. God won't let me carry it. When I sin, I shake, I tremble. I'm not good. I'm not myself. I got to confess it. I got to get it out of me. And you know what? God, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God worketh sorrow in us unto repentance, or godly sorrow worketh repentance unto what? Salvation. The Holy Ghost will pull on you and bear on you and weigh down on you and press down on you until you say, I can't take it anymore. I can't carry the sin anymore. God, take this from me. God, you can have it. God, I don't want to walk this way anymore. And it's gone. It's eliminated. It's covered. It's blessed, by the way. Amen. God remembers it no more. And that's to your salvation. That's to your blessing. So four things here. How many Gospels are there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, there's an order in everything God does in the Bible. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man in whom their spirit is no guile. You just might as well... Hey, young people, listen to me. It is in the nature of every child to lie about everything that they've ever done. Amen! I did it. And I remember getting mad, Melissa, one time at my mom. She whipped me for something she did. No. She whipped me for something I was pretty sure my sister did. And she whipped me, and I was mad at my mama. You know what the Holy Ghost told me years later? You had it coming. It wasn't for that, but it was for about 20 different other things. You had it coming. Quit being angry at your mama. Okay, I'm not. That's how God does it. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. You just might as well get used to dealing with the truth about who you really are. The better and the quicker you learn to deal with the truthfulness of what you do and how rotten you really are, the better life is going to be. Let's have some adults say amen, shake their hand, shout hallelujah, or whatever it is. We all learned that, didn't we? I love you people. I know you. I know that you don't carry sin for very long, but what God just says, I'm going to push down on you and hold down on you until you say uncle. And then you repent. And God says, that's what I wanted to hear. And I'm going to make you sorry for what you did, and you're going to repent, and that's to your salvation. I forgave this sin already, by the way. That's good, isn't it? That is the blessing of God. So let's go back. I could go all through the Bible. Go to the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, how does every Beatitude start? Blessed. Blessed is this. Blessed is that. When you get home today, you go home and read those Beatitudes. And you look and see if you don't see in there a saved man. You know what it is? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what that means?
you're bankrupt before God. You couldn't pay the sin bill that you racked up. You could not pay the bill. So you know what God did? God blessed you. He paid the bill for you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You used to hunger and thirst for sin. Amen. Now God put a new nature in you and a new spirit in you. And now you just want to do right. You want to be right. You want to do right. It bothers you when either somebody else does wrong or you do wrong. That's a new nature. That's how you know you're saved. You're blessed. Somebody say amen. Now let's go back to Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm going to deal with the ungodly tonight. Okay? So I want you here, either in person or I want you listening online. I want you to listen to what God's going to say. All right? And you, even if you're not saved. In fact, if you're not saved, you're the one I want listening. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what God says. So let's go back. Blessed is the man. Very quickly. Number one. When God saves you, when God does all of these things for you, you know what you quit doing? You quit listening to what everybody else said about God and about heaven. You quit listening. You don't listen to the counsel. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't listen to the people at work or your family members who are trying to tell you, well, I'm just living my life trying to be a good person. I think God will bless me for that. You don't listen to that. Because you know better. You know it doesn't work that way. Somebody say, but you know that that person has got a check register of sins that so far no deposit has been made on it. And even what good works they did to try to put it in there, to make it add up, to make it work out, they were taken out immediately upon the next sin. That's what Ezekiel 33 says. You know that about them, and you don't walk after their counsel. You don't listen to the wicked people of this world tell you about God and tell you about Jesus. And you, by the way, you don't listen to half the preachers out there tell you that nonsense they're telling you. Somebody say amen. You don't listen to it. Number two, you don't stand in the way of sinners. That means you're not going to the pool hall and the bar every Friday night. You don't go to the dances. You don't go to this. You don't go to that place. You don't go around these people anymore. And why? God put a new nature in you. And all of a sudden now, you take a drink of that old rotten stuff you used to drink and you say, oh man, it's killing me. That was God that did that for you. Amen. You take some of them drugs you used to take and all of a sudden it's just, oh, it's messing you up. Oh God, I'll never do this again. God said, it's exactly what I was doing. You don't stand in the way of sinners. And you don't sit in the seat of the scornful anymore. You don't sit around and complain that you're saved. You don't sit around and complain every Sunday. I got to go to church. If I don't go to church, I'll go to hell. Amen? We don't do that here, do we? We get up Sunday morning and going, oh, I don't feel good. My back is killing me. Oh, the arthritis is eating me up. And besides that, we ain't got any eggs in the house. And I don't want to go to McDonald's on the Lord's Day, so I'm just going to stay home. We don't do that. We get up in the morning and our back hurts and we ain't got no eggs in the house. And we don't feel like going anywhere. We don't feel like smiling in everybody's face when they shake our hand. We don't feel like nothing. But we say, you know what? I need to be in the house of God this morning. If there's any place I need to be at, I need to be in the house of God. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to say he's better than anybody else because I know he's not. Chris told me the day after he died, there in his driveway, but he got over it. He got better. Okay? He told me that day, he's laying in bed, he could barely talk. He said, I'll see you guys tomorrow. I said, Chris, come on, take a rest. And he said, no, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Now, he wouldn't hear the next day, but he wanted to be. His body wouldn't let him, but it's where his spirit was. He don't sit in the seat of the scornful anymore. He don't sit around going, you church people, you're so full of, you're nuts. You're all a bunch of hypocrites, and I can be closer to God without you. He don't say that. I don't say that. And God's people don't say that. They've got a different spirit in them. And it's not because they're better than everybody else. And it's not because they brought it on themselves. This is what God will do for you when he forgives your sins. All of a sudden, you're just not scornful anymore. It's just like Dee getting up on Christmas Day. One of the hardest times of the year for people that have lost loved ones. Thanksgiving and Christmas. We don't know how we're going to make it. But God got her up out of bed and said, you're going to dance. You're going to dance.
I kind of wish I was there to see it, but I'm kind of glad I didn't. Amen. She didn't do that on her own. The day that Adeline died, a year after that, was going to be a Sunday. I didn't know if I was even going to come to church that Sunday. Because it still hurt. It hurt bad. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And God sent Lindsay and Antonio over to eat our steak at our house. And Lindsay said, "Mom, I changed the background on my phone. And it was her pregnancy test with Uriah. The day before. And Jody, I shouted. I wasn't even preaching, and I shouted. And I cried. And God removed that reproach and that pain just like that. That's who He is. Why do you want to hang on to your sins? Why do you want to do that? It's better if you don't. Amen? This is what we're supposed to be preaching to lost people. It's just better if you let God have them. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. You don't even have to stand. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you this morning. And I know that I'm preaching to a lot of people. Here, there, and everywhere. So I imagine that there's got to be somebody listening to my voice right now that hasn't given their sins over yet. And I'm not beating you over the head with how rotten you are. You already know that. Your own conscience tells you that. Deep down inside, and I want you to be honest just for a minute. Deep down inside, you don't like the things you do because you know they hurt people. They hurt you. And you wish that you could do better. You may not be able to do better, but I know the one who can. If you'll just let Him have your sins. If you'll just do that. So I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you a time to pray. And to seek the Lord. And if you don't do anything else but this one thing, God, will You take away all my sins? Because I'm trying to do it on my own and I can't do it. And God, I don't know much about heaven or hell or all that stuff. But if it's true, I'm pretty sure I want to go to heaven. And I've learned today that I can't go with my iniquities uncovered and unforgiven. So Lord, I'm asking Your blessings. I'm asking You to take away my sins. So if you pray that this morning, you want to come down to one of these benches here, I'll come pray with you. If not, then maybe later you come tell me about it. I'd like to hear it. But we're going to pray. God's people are going to pray. And you give it a try, okay? Just taste and see if the Lord's good or not. Heavenly Father, I come before You in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I can't preach this stuff if it hasn't worked for me, but it does. This is how it is. And Lord, I marvel at it every day. I never get over it. You're so good to me. You are so good to me. You've helped me, Lord, in every way imaginable. You've forgiven things that, Lord, I couldn't even forgive myself.
You've helped me in ways, God, that nobody on this earth, including myself, could have ever helped me with. God, you've been awfully good to me. And I thank you for it, God. Thank you, God, for blessing me the way you have. And Lord, on top of having eternal life, I've got food to eat, clothes to wear, house to live in, car to drive. I've got friends and family members that love me and care about me. And Lord, you've given me more than I could have ever asked for. So God, I praise you and I worship you and I thank you today. And Lord, I'm just hoping, God, just hoping. Lord, there's somebody listening. Somebody listening that will turn their sins over to you and say, God, it's your turn. And God, you know what they mean. They don't have to say all these magic words. You know their heart, God. You know when they cry out, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God, you go do your work in their life. That way you'll get all the glory and praise, and man won't. So Father, Lord, just in a very simple way, God, bless the message. God, bless it in the hearts and the ears of these that have heard it. And Father, let those, Father, whose transgressions have been covered, whose sins have been forgiven, Lord, help us to shout, dear God, and praise you and thank you, God, for everything you've ever done for us. And Lord, Father, for a new sinner to become a brand new saint. Lord, just bless this message today and hear the prayer of the wicked when they cry out to you. That's what you did for us, and we'll never get over it, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. I'm glad.